is hard travel, and we will be back at the tribal caves.
Back, and I'm probably going to get my head bitten off for leaving on my own. I'll have to endure the pitying looks of the others and the smirks of those that realize we haven't completed our resonance yet. I'm reluctant to go back. I love the tribe, but right now it's touchy for me. So I grip Hayden's hand. If the girls are safe in the wall for a bit longer, would it be okay if we go south instead of directly back to the tribe? Take a few days for ourselves? To get used to this thing between us? I expect him to protest, but he studies me and then nods. He gets to his feet and presses a quick kiss to the top of my head again.
It shall be as you ask.
Chapter 15. Hayden. I push Josie hard for the first day of travel. I am not comfortable with the amount of Metlek tracks that I see all around the cave or covering the trails. This place is thick with the wild, unpredictable creatures, and the sooner we leave, the better. Because she walks slower than I do with the snowshoes, I carry her pack. And as the hours on the trail creep from morning to late afternoon, she begins to slow. She does not protest the bruising pace I set, but I can tell she is tired. So toward the end of the day, I carry her as well. She doesn't want me to, but I ignore her words and her small slaps, and bend over so she can climb onto my back. She does, and I hoist her higher, her arms around my neck, and we continue. Eventually, the Metlek tracks disappear, and we move into Saqui territory. These are the fringes of hunter lands, but I know these places. I know where the caves are, and where caches are hidden to freeze extra kills when the traps are plentiful. We stop as the twin moons come up into the sky, and I take my mate to the closest hunter cave. It is a small one, but well stocked with fuel for a fire, and warm furs for bedding. I set her down gently and then sling the packs off my front. I must scout the area to make sure we are safe, I tell her, but let me start a fire first so you stay warm.
I can do it, she says, and pulls out the fire starter she keeps on a thong at her neck. You do what you've got to do. I can help where I can.
I nod slowly, rubbing my chest as my qui vibrates in response. That she would help me prepare our camp despite her exhaustion means much to me. It makes me feel as if we are in this together for the first time. That she is acknowledging that we are one. I grab her in a fierce hug and kiss the top of her head again before she can say anything, and then head out of the cave to scout before she asks questions. I track back on our trail looking for signs of Metleks, but there is nothing. If we were followed, they gave up many hours ago. Pleased, I return to the cave and my mate, where she has the fire blazing. I am proud that she is not complaining, though she is clearly tired. Instead, she busies herself in the cave and looks up from the fire when I arrive, her eyes brightening. It has taken many torturous nights to get to the point where her eyes light up with pleasure at the sight of me, but I would not trade a single one. This moment has made all of them worth it.
Everything okay?
She asks, crumbling a few dried herbs into the stewing pouch to make tea. No tracks, I agree. The Metleks have abandoned us in pursuit of easier prey. I did not see much prey at all, which concerns me. Normally these hills are crawling with game.
That's great, Josie says, smiling.
Will we be at Harlow and Rook's cave tomorrow?
If we travel all day, perhaps. I do not point out that this will be unlikely. She nods slowly, a frustrated look crossing her face.
So no, then. I'm sorry I'm slowing us down. It's difficult to keep up with you.
Does she think I chastise her? Do not apologize. We are not at our full strength. I rub my chest, thinking of the Kui that has been the bane and hope of my existence recently. We will simply go as fast as we can and not worry about anything else.
I feel guilty you had to carry me today.
That was because we were in Metlek territory. We are safe now. I lean forward and touch her chin, tilting her head up so she gazes at me. And I would carry you for days on end without complaint and be glad to do so. She blushes and ducks her head.
Let's hope it doesn't come to that, or I'm going to have bruises on the insides of my thighs from trying to hold on to you.
I picture her thighs gripping my hips, and lust roars through me. If it came to pass, I would not mind her sweet thighs clenching around me endlessly. The only thing I would mind are the bruises she would wear. I will be more careful with you. Josie just shakes her head at me, amused. We pass the dark hours companionably, talking about the weather and drinking tea. I feed Josie tidbits of the meat that I roast. Even though her hands are better, I enjoy feeding her. She does not protest the treatment, and after the meat is gone, she starts to yawn. Sleep, I tell her. There will be much traveling to do tomorrow, and you will need your strength. She nods and glances over at the blankets, then shivers.
Will you join me? You're my furnace.
Furnace? You provide warmth, she teases, all smiles. I nod. I will gladly furnace for her. I settle into the furs and she moves her body against mine, tucking her smaller form under my shoulder. She gives a little sigh and her cheek rests against my chest, her fist over my heart. My qui sings pleasantly, and I close my eyes, content to ignore the hum coursing through my body, demanding that I claim my mate. For now, this is enough.
Your qui is loud,
Josie murmurs softly, and her fingers pet my chest, stroking the hard ridges over my heart. She is not wrong. Though the song is pleasant, it is throbbing loudly. I grunt acknowledgement. Ignore it. Josie says nothing, but her hand continues to stroke the ridges on my chest, and my cock, already ready, grows achingly hard. I keep my eyes closed and my body still, determined not to react. If she wants to pet me harmlessly as she goes to sleep, I will welcome it without protest. Her every touch is a gift. Moments pass and her fingers continue to stroke my chest. Then her hand slides lower, away from my heart and down my belly. My mouth goes dry. My cock jerks against my breechcloth, stabbing at the air. Perhaps she does not realize what she is doing? I wait in rigid silence, my hand fisted at my side as her fingers glide over my belly, teasing at the edges of my breechcloth. I listen to her breathing to see if she is sleeping and her hand is simply wandering. But then I smell her arousal in the air, faint but growing stronger. The groan I have been biting back escapes me.
Josie, is it okay if I play a little?
Her voice is hushed and soft and her fingers stroke, stroke, stroke my belly, over and over.
Do a bit of exploring?
I give a jerky nod. As if I would refuse this? No male could. Her hand moves lower.
I never thought about you being a virgin,
she confesses in a hushed voice.
I admit it changes my perspective on things.
How so? My voice cracks as I speak and I clear my throat.
It's weird, but I feel like I understand you now. Why you're so scared of me being weak. And it makes it feel like, well, you're all mine. Funny how that's so appealing, isn't it?
It is not strange to me. The thought of another male touching her fills me with helpless rage. I belong to no one but you, I tell her through gritted teeth.
I know, she says softly. I kind of like that.
And then her hand slides over my leggings and cups my shaft. I choke on my own breath, my fists tight against my side. Part of me wants to pry her hand away so she does not torment me further, and part of me wants to grab her by her small wrist and have her pump my cock until I spurt all over her fingers.
You're really hard, she sounds fascinated. And big. I'm impressed.
You have seen me unclothed before? It is difficult to get the words out when she is touching me. My mind cannot concentrate on anything but her hand gently stroking.
Yeah, but seeing and feeling are two different things, you know?
Her voice is breathless with wonder. And I'm definitely feeling something impressive. Her hand leaves my cock and I could cry out in frustration, but then I feel her fingers move to my leggings. The knot in the waist cords give, and then the material loosens. And she pushes it down, exposing my cock to the air.
Can I keep going?
She asks, sitting up. The breath gusts out of me, as if I could stop her. Pre-cum slicks the head of my cock and dribbles down the ridges on my length. My sack is tight. At any moment I feel ready to explode. At the same time, I do not want to come too soon, not before she is finished. She takes my silence as permission, because her hand returns to my cock and she lets her fingers lightly dance along my length, tracing the veins and ridges. It feels better than anything I have ever imagined, her hand on my cock, and I close my eyes and think of hunting and tracking and Metlax and snow, anything to keep from losing control.
Your skin is so warm.
Josie's voice is soft. She leans closer, and then I feel her breath on my cock.
And you're so thick.
A groan escapes me. How can I think of Metlax when her lips are less than a finger span from my length? How can I think of anything?
And these ridges,
she says with a little sigh, tracing her finger over one.
I think you might have the perfect dick, Hayden. I can't believe I'm the first woman to touch it.
Only, I grit out, voice ragged, you are the only female that will ever touch me. Because I am hers and hers alone. Instead of being afraid of my words, she gives a throaty little chuckle that makes my sack tighten even more.
Just me,
she says, and the tease is back in her voice. Her fingertips lightly stroke up and down my length.
Only me.
Then she leans in and presses her mouth to the flat of my belly. The breath hisses from my throat. I am in agony. Pure, perfect agony, and it has been created by my mate's soft mouth. Her tongue lightly touches my skin.
Hayden?
What?
I need to ask a favor,
she says, and then licks my lower belly again. Her mouth is so close to my cock that obscene, fascinating images scroll through my mind faster and faster. I do not dare to hope that her mouth will go lower. It does not seem like something she would enjoy.
And yet?
Anything, I rasp. She could ask for my arm, and I would gladly remove it from my body.
I need...
kiss.
You?
Kiss.
To hold off...
kiss.
And not come until I'm done playing, okay?
Kiss. And then her mouth, her soft, wicked mouth, goes to the head of my cock and she presses a small kiss to it. Fire ignites my body. I clench at the blanket, sweat breaking out on my forehead. What she asks is impossible, yet I hunger to please her.
I will try.
Her sultry giggle at my response makes my skin prickle with awareness. Her breath is on my cock, her hand gripping my shaft. My belly is wet from the touches of her tongue and her lips. My quay is throbbing an intense beat that seems to have settled itself into my cock.
Do not come,
with her mouth so cruelly, wonderfully teasing. Surely a hunter would be more likely to be struck by lightning. But Josie wants to play, and I will do anything for her. So I lie very still, my nails digging into my palms as she lowers her head. My tail thrashes wildly against my thigh as she moves closer, and then she presses another kiss to my cockhead. Her other hand seeks out my spur, the hard length above my cock, and she rubs it, dragging her fingers back and forth. Pleasure bursts through me, and I hold my breath. Metlex. Metlex hunting outside the cave. Josie in danger. Metlex with their tearing claws. Her mouth closes over the head of my cock, and her tongue swirls against the tip. The breath I've been holding explodes. My hand goes to her hair, as if I am no longer in control of my body. When she raises her head to laugh again, I push it back down, dying for more. I am so close to coming that fire burns in my belly, and I can feel my seed rising in my cock, the throb of my cui making it unbearable. And I need her hot mouth, her tongue, her lips on my cock again. She makes a small, humming noise of pleasure, and her arousal spikes the air around me, even as her mouth closes over my cock again. Then she pulls, sucking with her mouth and taking me deeper, even as her fingers play with my spur. I thrust my hips, unable to stop, and push deeper into her mouth. She makes a noise of encouragement and sucks harder, and then, despite my vow, I spill my seed violently. I can feel it spurting into her mouth, her tight, hot mouth that feels like nothing I have experienced before. My entire body trembles with the force of my release, even as she makes small, humming noises and waits for me to finish. Shame grips me as she releases my cock and gives it a final lick. I let go of her hair and close my eyes as she sits up.
I am sorry. I failed you.
Her sweet laugh fills the cave.
Hayden, I was just teasing you. Don't be so serious.
She moves to my side and curls up against me.
I was deliberately trying to make you come.
But you said... And I grabbed your hair.
Which was sexy,
she agrees and settles in next to me. Her arm goes around my waist.
Unexpected, but sexy.
I am utterly confused by her. Confused, but also oddly pleased. So I did not disappoint you?
With that cock? I'd have to be crazy to be disappointed.
She pats my chest.
We'll work on your stamina. Tomorrow.
Her fingers brush over my skin, and she's still feeling, still touching. Her aroused scent still lingers in the air, and I realize she has not come herself. This was all for me. I am humbled by such a gift.
You know what else I'd like to practice?
She muses.
Kissing. Mouth kissing.
Let's put that on the schedule for tomorrow, too. I want to please her. I want to hear her come. I want to see her come. I want to taste it. My arm goes around her and I stroke her shoulder and her soft, soft skin. We can practice tonight.
My mouth is tired,
she teases, but I feel her thighs squeeze as if pressing them together. An idea strikes me and I roll to my knees, then pull her thighs open. If she has done such for me, can I not do it for her? Lucky for you that your male has a strong mouth and an even stronger tongue. She sucks in a breath and then falls back on the furs, a moan escaping her throat.
I am lucky.
Her thighs part eagerly, and I bury my face between her legs, pleased.
Chapter 16. Josie. I wake up the next morning with Hayden's head between my legs as he licks me into another rippling, shivering orgasm. God, the man does have a strong, amazing tongue. And apparently he loves giving as well as receiving. Clearly I've been giving this resonance thing too hard a knock.
Good morning, my mate,
he murmurs between licks, then goes straight for my clit. I moan something that might be a response, and my hands go to his horns. I hold them like handlebars as he goes to town on my pussy, feasting like he's starving and licking as if I'm the center of a Tootsie Pop or something. What girl could hold out against such enthusiasm? No one, and I come within a matter of minutes. Once my body is reduced to nothing but a quivering mess, he licks me one last lingering time and then nuzzles the inside of my thigh.
We must start our journey soon.
Right. Journey, I pant. Got it. I'm pretty boneless at the moment, my cootie purring pleasantly. It seems to be eating up all the endorphins I've been sending its way because the need has been less urgent in the last few days. Or maybe it realizes I'm inches away from giving in to this whole resonance thing. Heck, after a morning greeting like that, I'm having a real hard time remembering why I've ever fought against this. Hayden's caring and sweet and devoted. Sometimes cranky, yes. Sometimes surly and overbearing. But when it comes to me, I'm his world, and he lets me know it. Which, I'm not hating. I'm not sure if I'm ready to bend yet. I'm not ready to say no, but I feel like I need a little bit more of a push in the yes direction, and I want to see where things take us. I'm having fun with him right now, and while the resonance feels inevitable, I also just want to enjoy the moment. He gives my thighs one last nuzzle and teasing lick, then gets up and moves toward the dead coals of our fire.
Do you require fresh tea this morning, my mate? Or shall we drink cold water and move out earlier?
Mate? Eep. I want to tell him ixnay to the eight-may thing, because I'm terrified of jinxing it. But he seems so happy this morning, so pleased with himself. And as he glances over at me, he gives me another fierce, possessive look of pride. Yeah, I can't deflate that right now. I slide my tunic lower over my splayed, naked legs and stretch a little. Cold water's fine. I want to get to Harlow's cave. The sooner the better, I think. Because there, I think we'll seal the deal. We're maybe an hour out from the cave when Hayden stops abruptly and I run into his back and then nearly fall over in my snowshoes. What the fuck? Psst, he says, waving a hand in the air to indicate silence. I cling to his back and try to peer around his shoulder. To my surprise, he grabs my arm and half steers, half drags me away to the nearest cliff. Hayden, I protest, trying to walk as fast as I can in the snowshoes. What's going on?
Quiet.
The asshole is back in play. He pushes me against the rock wall of the cliff and pulls my small bone knife from its sheath and shoves it into my hand. His eyes are narrow, his face tight with wariness.
Wait here, and do not move.
What is it?
With luck, it is nothing.
He gives me one of those devouring looks and then turns away, holding his spear at the ready. I clutch my knife in my fur-mittened hand, blinking. He's crouching low in the snow, his movements slinking. It's almost like he's hunting something, but I don't see any game. He didn't hunt yesterday when we were traveling and said it was because he wants me to be safe, and even a wounded Divisti can be dangerous. So why is he hunting now? I gaze up ahead of him and see something dark splashed in the snow. A short distance away, there's a lump that seems to be out of sync with the rest of the environment, like a pimple on one of the snowy hills. Hayden crouches low near the darker splashes and touches one, then lifts his fingers and sniffs them. I realize what I'm looking at. Is that blood? I call out. He turns and gives me a furious shake of his head, indicating I should be silent. Oh, crap. I'm annoyed at his mood, but I'm also not stupid. If he's freaking out, this is bad. I clutch my little knife tighter and wait for him to come back. His tail thrashes against the snow as he studies the whatever the hell it is, and then gets to his feet. Instead of heading back toward me, he moves toward the lump up ahead. I realize when he picks up something long and stiff and turns the thing over that it's a body. It's gray and furry and... I think it's a Metlac. Oh, shit. What killed it? Who else is out here? I rack my brain trying to think of any sorts of predators big enough to eat one of the tall, skinny Metlacs. The snowcats are fierce, but not much bigger than bobcats. The Divisti are grass eaters, and the Sakotsk? Well, I don't know what they eat, but they're too slow to be predators. I rack my brain as Hayden studies the carcass and then returns to my side, a grim expression on his face. What is it? I ask, worried. The look on his face could freeze icicles. What killed it?
I do not know.
His mouth is drawn into a grim line.
There are no tracks, only blood.
I swallow hard. Maybe it snowed? But I've been here long enough to recognize fresh powder, and the snow we're walking in is slightly crusty. That means it's been on the ground long enough to melt slightly in the sunlight and then ice back over again. More than that, the weather is clear, with barely a breeze. He grunts acknowledgement that we both know I'm wrong.
We must be careful. Stay on alert as we walk, and keep safely behind me.
He takes my pack from my shoulders and slings it over his front.
If you get tired, let me know, and I will carry you.
I'll be fine. If things are as bad as they seem, I don't want him to be weighed down by carrying my sorry human ass. Hayden nods and starts walking again, his strides big and ground-eating.
Stay close.
Oh, sure. The tiny human woman in snowshoes will somehow manage to stay close to the 7-foot-tall alien who walks like it's a spring day. Sure, no problem. But I don't protest because it's clear he wants to get out of this area. Whatever it is that happened to that Metlac, it's rattled him. I take a gander at it as we pass by. The blood spray is everywhere, and the thing... Well, I'm surprised I can tell it was a Metlac. It looks as if it's been chewed up and spit back out again. I shiver and pick up the pace behind Hayden. We keep a murderous pace through the day, and I do my best to keep up. It's clear to me that the easy but brisk travel of yesterday is gone, and in its place, we're marching at a breakneck pace. It sucks. It sucks even more that he's picking a twisty trail instead of an obvious one, keeping us near the trees or walking in the shadow of a rocky cliff instead of out in the open. That means the drifts are higher, the wind is colder, and all of the travel is just garbage and a half. Even though it's taking everything I have, I manage to keep up, well, relatively, and Hayden doesn't carry me. By the time the twin moons are directly overhead and the snow is lit up with the night, Hayden steers me toward a rocky outcropping.
Hunter cave in there.
Thank God. My legs feel ready to fall off, and my toes went numb with cold hours ago. My cootie's too tired to sing even, and all it manages is a half-assed purr when he gets near. So, not scoring tonight. The cave is clean of any occupants, and by the time Hayden strikes up a fire, I've barely managed to peel my wet furs off my body. Exhausted, I let him help me undress, but I don't have the energy to do more than crawl into the freshly unrolled bed furs and collapse. When I wake up the next morning, he's holding me against him, his cootie purring happily, and his finger strokes my cheek. I yawn and raise my head to look at the entrance of the cave. There's sunlight pouring in, which means I've slept a good long while. Doesn't feel like it. I'm still exhausted. Sorry, I mumble at him, and then set my head back down on his warm shoulder. Guess I passed out.
You were tired.
He traces my jaw lightly.
It is understandable.
He seems more relaxed today, and I'm too tired to think about sexy times, so I broach the subject of yesterday's problem. What killed that Metlac?
Stop asking, Josie.
I ignore his sourness. It's a ploy to shut me down, and I'm wise to him now. He gets cranky when he doesn't want to answer. That's not an I don't know. That's an I know, but I don't want to tell you. He snorts. But you do know, don't you? His hand slides to my arm, and he brushes tickling little circles on my bare skin. I'm naked. Oh. So is he. Didn't realize that until just now, but weirdly enough, it doesn't feel sexual. I suspect he just wants to hold me.
There are... stories.
Doesn't sound like a good start to me. I'm listening.
My father used to say that when it grew too cold, it was a bad thing, that the Sky Claws would appear and hunt in Sakwi territory.
Sky Claw? I haven't heard of that. The word sounds strange in the Sakwi tongue.
There are many reasons why the Sakwi do not live near the Great Salt Waters. The creatures in those waters are very large and aggressive, with many fangs.
So I've heard. Harlow has shared some hair-raising stories of the stuff she's seen. Makes me think of all the documentaries I watched on dinosaurs as a kid. The ocean here is experiencing some primordial soup or something. And the Skyclaw things live in the water?
No. They come from above. They snatch their prey from the ground and swallow them whole. And they are big enough to eat a kit the size of Farley.
I feel sick. I'm the same size as Farley. In fact, I'm pretty sure I have one of her old tunics. You don't say.
I do not know for sure if it is the Skyclaws,
he says, rubbing my arm as if to comfort me.
But if they are, we would do best to keep an eye on the skies.
Weirdly enough, I think of the big shadow I'd seen flying overhead a few days ago when I had my spyglass and was scoping out the island. I hadn't been able to find out what it was. The thought that it could have been some sort of gigantic flying predator that eats people for breakfast fills me with fear. So the Skyclaws hang out on the coast? How come Rook and Harlow never said anything?
They come down when it is cold.
It's always cold.
Ah, but this bitter season is much colder than the last one.
Well, goody. Do you think they're coming from the island?
I land.
I sit up and look at him. There's something out in the water. If you stare out at it far enough, you can see a smear of green. I think it's an island, with trees. He snorts derision.
Trees are pink. Like you.
His hand smooths down my arm and he gives me a hungry look. My nipples harden and I remember that I'm naked and giving him some full frontal action. I tap his chest with my hand because he's starting to look distracted. Pay attention, Hayden. Trees are green on my planet. Chlorophyll or some shit. Anyhow, I took this glass thing from the Elder's spaceship and it lets you see long distances. I promise I saw a bunch of green and I'm pretty sure that it's an island. Do you think the Skyclaw things are coming from there? He shrugs.
Does it matter? The area is not safe. We need to avoid the coast and head inland, toward the tribal caves.
All right.
Which means we should leave soon.
I groan and flop on the blankets face down. I'm a heavy sleeper and I need my rest, and I feel like I need a heck of a lot more of it. How soon is soon? He chuckles.
Very soon.
And then the bastard rips the blankets off of me, leaving me bare-assed in the cold. I'm dragging. I can't help it. I'm exhausted. Hayden's trying to be understanding, but he wants to go faster. He's set another bruising pace today, and I'm doing my best to keep up. But every time he wants me to walk nearer the trees, I find myself edging out a bit further. I can't march like a soldier and somehow plow through the thick drifts and somehow keep up with him. Something's got to give. As the day wears on, Hayden's temper grows shorter.
Hurry, he snaps at me. Do I need to carry you?
I'm hurrying, I yell back at him, doing my best to drag my happy ass through the snow. The suns are high in the bleary sky, which means we won't be stopping anytime soon. Harlow and Rook's cozy seaside cave is no longer an option. Hayden's taking me deep into the mountains, which means more snow, which means it's even more difficult to keep up. And do I bitch? No. I shut my mouth and walk faster. Or try to. I'm covered in sweat, though, and my furs are freezing against my skin. My poor cootie is thrumming, but I'm pretty sure it's expending most of its energy trying to keep me from being a human popsicle instead of getting me pregnant. Priorities and all. Meanwhile, Hayden just storms through the snow ahead of me, faster and faster, like it's nothing. I glare at his back and his twitching tail. He's carrying my pack and his, and I should be grateful, but I'm so stinking tired. I just want to rest for a day or three. There's no rush, I tell myself. There's no clock to beat. The girls in the tubes are safe for another week or three or even a year. We can camp out in the next little cave for a while and relax. The idea sounds like heaven, and my frozen feet slow even more. I'm exhausted. Maybe he does need to carry me for a bit this afternoon, because I don't know. A shadow moves over the ground and glides over me. I freeze. Hayden? My voice is a mere whisper. I clutch my stupid little knife, the one he tells me I need to keep out at all times, tight in my hand. I think I just saw something. He doesn't turn, too far ahead of me to hear my words. Hayden? I call louder. This time he turns. I think I saw a screech. The shadow falls over me again, and then I'm plucked from the ground and something hot and wet surrounds me like a vise. There's a horrible stink and something hard and pointed drags against my bare skin. Teeth. The vise flexes and then it grows completely dark. Oh my God. My thoughts are in an utter panic. I've just been eaten alive.
Josie!
Chapter 17. Hayden.
Josie!
My mate's name is ripped from my throat as the sight of the sky claws he descends on her and his pointed mouth plucks her from the snow as if she is nothing, a mere tidbit of meat. My heart stops in my breast. I stagger to my knees. My mate, my everything, she's gone.
No, no, no. No!
The life crushes from my chest as I watch the sky claw flap its wings and lift into the air again. It begins to soar, all wing and sinew and massive, massive jaws. My mate. I let out another anguished cry of her name, staggering after the creature, even though I know there is no way I can catch him. I cannot fly. Even if I could, my Josie is gone. Gone! I am in agony. I watch the creature soar away and turn my knife to my breast. I will not live without her. I cannot. There is no world if it does not have her smile and her bright, sparkling eyes in it. I have failed you, my mate, I say, placing my knife over my chest. The plates protecting my heart will not let me stab directly. I shove the knife against one and watch as blood wells against my skin. All it will take is one solid thrust, and then I will join her. My gaze seeks out the loathsome sky claw in the distance. The creature is a black spot growing smaller on the horizon. Then it wobbles in midair, dips, falters. The wings begin to beat erratically. It struggles to climb higher in the air, only to plummet further. Fury rushes through me. I chase after it, moving swiftly over churned snow. It disappears over the next ridge, and I race after it. I will cut out its heart with my knife and offer it to scavengers. I will hack out its eyes and flay the skin from its filthy body for daring to eat my mate. Another anguished cry rips from my throat as I find it on the ground, the delicate wings flapping against the earth. It's writhing in front of me, unable to fly. The creature is unlike any other bird I have seen. The face is a scaly, pointed triangle with thick, tufted brown fur on its throat and body. The wings are naked and stretched thin between finger joints like fine leather stretched tight over a privacy screen over a cave. The entire thing is longer than some caves I have seen. It is hideous. But it is on the ground. Now's my chance. I give another cry of anger and stab at the thing's throat. My knife sinks into the throat and hot blood splashes over me. With a vindictive howl, I drag my blade through the throat until the thrashing head goes limp and I am covered in its lifeblood. That was for Josie. I stab my knife into its side, just under the wing, unsatisfied. I do not know why it landed, but I will take the opportunity to avenge my mate. I will carve it into pieces and enjoy every stab of my blade. Another howl of anguished loss escapes me. My face is wet with blood and the tears that must be streaking down my face. In one moment I have lost everything. Everything. I had a mate, I snarl at it, stabbing my knife into its side again. And I loved her! You took her from me! Over and over my knife sinks into it. Then I rest a hand, my heart pounding against the creature's large belly. The belly moves. I recoil backward, staring. Is it pregnant? Are more young about to spill forth from the creature? But the belly moves again, and then something sticks out of the center of the belly. Something small and hard and pointed, wet with red blood. A tooth. Or knife. My Kui, silent until now, bursts into song. Another howl escapes my throat and my movements become frantic.
Josie! Josie!
I slam my knife in next to the other and then begin to slice at the creature's thick stomach, trying to carve a hole. The thick, blubbery hide over the stomach fights me, and I snarl as I put both of my hands on the handle of my blade and use all of my strength to cut deeper, wider. A blood-stained hand emerges, human fingers reaching and frantic. Joy blasts through me, and I continue cutting. My mate! My mate, she lives! When the creature's abdomen is hacked open, I grab the reaching hand and brace a foot against the belly of the creature and heave with all my might. The wound makes an awful sucking sound, and I pull harder. A growl of fury escapes me, and then I pull again, determined. It will not keep her. It will not! Then the creature's stomach gives way, and Josie, wet, covered in gore and gasping for breath, slides out of it and into my arms. My mate. My everything. I shout her name and pull her against me, no matter that she is soaked and covered in filth. My hand goes to her wet hair, and I cradle her head, her sweet, sweet human head, against my chest. My mate.
Couldn't breathe,
she chokes out, shuddering against me. Her sticky hands work against my chest, and then she curls them into fists. Her breath gasps from her lungs.
I couldn't see. I couldn't move.
She bursts into tears and then begins to sob hard, burrowing against me.
Oh, my God!
I know, I tell her, stroking her blood-slicked hair back from her face.
Shh, I have you, my mate.
I press my mouth to her smooth brow, not caring that she is filthy and I am not much better. She is mine, forever. The agony of the last few minutes surges through me and I stagger. The only thing that keeps me upright is that Josie sags against me. I press my mouth to her skin frantically again.
I thought I had lost you.
She just sobs, pressing her cheek to my chest. My poor mate. I want to clutch her against my chest forever and never let her go, but she is shivering and upset. I throw my pack down on the ground and tear it apart, pulling out the bedrolls. I wrap her in the furs, not caring that she is filthy. She must be warm.
Do not cry, my mate. I will take care of you. Says the guy that wasn't just swallowed fucking whole.
I know, I murmur, kissing and touching her everywhere. I cannot stop reaching for her. I will never stop seeing that awful vision of the sky claw swooping low to scoop up my mate as if she is nothing. I will protect her with my life. Once she is bundled in the furs, I pick her up and begin to run. I do not care how long it will take to get her to the next hunter cave. I only know that she is not leaving my sight again. The suns are close to setting behind the horizon when I stagger into the cave. A quill beast yips and scurries out, and I mentally curse myself for not checking first to see if the cave was occupied. My mind is a whir of scattered thoughts, all of them focused on one thing. Keep my mate safe. Josie has been quiet for some time, and I set her down gently inside.
Wait here.
She shivers and nods, but does not speak. When the shadows move over her face, I see a blank look there. It worries me. So I work quickly. I scoop up the offal left by the quill beast and sweep the cave clean with a Devisti tail whisk broom left by the last occupant. I left many of our supplies out on the trail in my haste to clothe Josie in our furs, but they do not matter. I can make new hooks, new knives. I can collect new fire-making supplies. All that matters is her. I build a fire and soon have water melting in the pouch. My tea is gone, left back on the trail. It does not matter. The water will be used to bathe her first. After that, I will worry about tea. Josie is quiet in the firelight, but her entire body still trembles. Come, I tell her, and wince when my voice seems unnaturally gruff in the silence. We are going to bathe you, and then we are going to eat something.
I don't think I can eat,
she whispers. You can, and you will. I ignore the fact that we have nothing to eat, and I left my travel rations back away. One problem at a time.
Don't tell me what to do,
she snaps, turning to glare at me. I will take her anger. At least she is not staring vacantly ahead. I narrow my eyes and give her an irritated snort in the hopes of riling her temper. I am your mate. I know best.
We're not mated,
she cries out and then bursts into new tears.
I almost died and you almost lost a second mate again because I'm a selfish asshole.
Her raw sobs fill the cavern. I sit, frozen in shock. She was worried about me? All this time? Here I have been frantic with worry over her, how small she is, how shocked she must be, and she is thinking of me? My chest aches. I rub it, ignoring the small nick at the top of my chest, where my knife dug into my skin. To think I almost killed myself while she was still alive in its belly, working to get out. The thought makes me ill. I crouch in front of her. When she avoids looking at me, I cup her face in both my hands, ignoring how filthy she is. "Josie," I say, waiting for her eyes to meet mine. When they do, I continue, "You were mine the day you landed in this world. I felt a connection the moment I saw you, and it frightened me. When we resonated, I realized that you are always meant to be mine, and I will keep you safe." Her eyes shimmer with tears, and she opens her mouth to protest. "I will keep you safe," I repeat. My thumbs smooth over her rounded cheeks. "You are mine. That is all you need to know. If you are taken, I will come after you. If you are sick, I will never leave your side. If you leave, I will follow. You will never be without me, because I will come after you. Know this." I brush my fingers over her breast where her qui thrums. "Feel this and know it to be true." "But we're not, and when you are well," I tell her in the same firm voice, cutting off her protest before it starts, "I will lie down with you in the furs and take you as mine. We will mate until you carry my kit. Then resonance will be sated. But do not seek to tell me that you are not mine yet, because you have always been mine." Her wounded eyes blink, and then she nods slowly. "Yours," she whispers. "Always," I growl back.
Chapter 18. Josie. I must have passed out at some point, because I wake up sometime later to find the fire crackling higher than normal, and I'm naked on top of the filthy furs. Something warm and wet rubs my arm, and I look over to see that Hayden is carefully bathing me with long, smooth strokes of his hand. There's a look of intense concentration on his face, and I realize for the first time in a while that I am totally, completely safe. He's not horn-dogging on me. He's not doing this to score points. He's doing this because he wants to take care of me, because I'm important to him. And I want to tell him that I could kiss him for that. But my brain is still all shocky from earlier, and I fall back asleep, letting him take care of things. For once, it's good to let my guard down and realize someone else has my back. When I wake up again later that night, Hayden is gone. The fire is crackling and the cave is cozy and warm. New furs that smell a little musty and that must have come from somewhere in the cave are piled on top of me, and I drift back to sleep. Hayden must be hunting. Or something. Strangely enough, I'm not worried. I know he wouldn't leave me if there was a chance something bad would happen. I sleep on. I wake up the next morning with Hayden's arms wrapped tightly around me and his naked body is under the furs next to mine. We're spooning, and his cock is hard against my butt, but I can hear how deeply he's asleep. I roll over slowly, my body moving inch by slow inch, so I do my best not to wake him up. Every muscle in my body aches, and I don't know if it's from the endless hiking or from, being swallowed whole. Just the thought makes my gorge rise, and I spend the next few minutes doing my best not to freak out all over again. Hayden, however, is warm and strong and wonderful, so I snuggle closer to him and his arms tighten around me reflexively. My cootie is purring loud, joined by his, and the ache between my legs has returned. We need to fulfill resonance, and soon. I lift a hand to smooth it down his chest and realize there are deep scratches down my naked arm. I frown at them, trying to figure out where they've come from. The creature's teeth must have scratched me as I went down its throat. I shudder hard. It's going to take me a long fucking time to get over that. If I close my eyes, I can still feel the awful clench of its throat as it swallows me. "Hush," Hayden murmurs, his hand brushing over my shoulder and down my arm. "I am here. I will not let anything else harm you." I want to tease him about his confident words, but they make me feel better. I relax next to him. "Where did you go last night?"
"Hunting. I ran back to pick up our packs as well."
His fingers brush my cheek.
"Were you scared?"
"No. I knew you wouldn't let me get hurt." I trace my fingers over his pectorals just because I like touching him. I'm a bit banged up, though. His eyes remain closed even as his hands roam over my body possessively.
It will heal soon enough. Do you hurt? Shall I get Leedy to numb your aches?"
I wrinkle my nose at the thought of more of that goop. "No, thanks. I'm just sore and a bit scratched." My fingers glide over a deep cut directly over the center of his pectorals and I frown. Did that thing get you too?
No. I did that.
I sit up. You cut yourself? Why? He pulls me back down into the furs, all without opening his eyes. Man, he must be wiped.
I did it because I placed my blade there. If you had died, I wanted to follow you.
That is so fucked up, I whisper, shocked. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's also the sweetest thing I've ever heard, but it's seriously fucked up.
You are my mate. There is nothing for me if you are gone.
And he pulls me back down against him and fits my head against his shoulder.
Rest now.
I relax against him because I know he needs his sleep. I can't drift off, though. Not without thinking about him grieving and upset at the thought of losing me. I think hard, and then, because I'm insecure, I poke him in the chest to wake him up. Did you try to do that after Zala? He struggles awake, blinking at me.
Do what?
Did you try to kill yourself after Zala died? He snorts as if amused by the thought.
No. Go to sleep.
For some reason, this pleases me. I'm more important to him than Zala was. I shouldn't care about something so petty, but fuck that. I totally care. And it makes me happy. If we both weren't so tired, I'd totally nail him right now. Hayden sleeps on for hours, and I drift off again, too. When I wake again, it's, sadly, not to my man nuzzling between my thighs, but the scent of cooking meat. Okay, I'll take that. I sit up and rub my eyes, yawning. He's crouched near the fire, slowly turning a spit, his tail flicking back and forth. He's also naked, and I can see his ball sack hanging between his strong thighs from behind. Most people wouldn't be able to make that work, but I can't stop staring at him. He's so damn sexy. Remind me again why we've been fighting this, I ask my brain. The ache between my legs increases, and I have to physically keep myself from pressing a hand between my legs and masturbating at the sight of him. I must be feeling better. My cootie's increased hum alerts him, and he glances over his shoulder at me, black braid spilling down his back.
Awake?
I nod and sit up, letting the cover slide to my waist so he can get a good look at my nudity. Very awake. How long have we been sleeping? He grunts acknowledgement and turns back to the fire, which is disappointing.
It has been a day since.
He coughs as if he cannot say the words, then concludes gruffly,
A day.
I slide a little closer to him. Is that all? It feels like longer. He nods. He doesn't look at me. For some reason that hurts. What is it? Why won't you look at me? Hayden glares at the fire. He rubs his chest absently, his qui purring so loud that just the sound of it makes me wet with need.
Because I nearly lost you, and it is taking all of my effort not to throw you down onto the furs and ram my cock into your cunt to claim you.
Oh. That should not turn me on nearly as much as it does. I squeeze my thighs tight together. Because your body hurts, I guess. You're still exhausted? He snorts in derision.
Not me. You are not well. You are fragile and need more rest.
Oh, barf. More of this fragile Josie shit? Does he think now I'm going to break into a million pieces if he touches me? Because some bird the size of a bus tried to have me as a snack? Because seriously? Yes, I'm traumatized. But the best solution for that would be for him to hold me, not ignore me. Clearly, I'm going to have to take matters into my own hands. I want to move forward, not backward. I want us to become one. I want to become his mate. I reach out and grab his swishing tail. It immediately curls around my wrist, feather soft and smooth. He glances over at me then. Hi, I say smiling. Remember me? Your mate? His brows furrow in confusion, not getting my joke. You promised you'd practice kissing with me. We can at least do that, right? I bat my eyes at him, doing my best to look innocent. My plan is an evil one, though. I figure if we start with kissing, he won't be able to stop. And really, I think it's long past time we consummated this thing. Hayden scowls in my direction as if I've just suggested we go for a naked morning jog.
You want to practice kissing? No.
What's wrong with now?
You are tired and ill.
I'm not. He tries again.
You have had a bad time of things.
But you saved me. I bat my lashes again. Hayden moves forward, peering at me, and cuffs my face.
Is there something in your eye?
God, he really sucks at flirting, doesn't he? Nothing, I say sourly, then change tactics. He wants to play nursemaid? Already? Though I do have something that hurts. He stiffens, all alarm.
What is it?
His hands smooth over my skin, checking me.
Where do you hurt?
Oh, man. He's so worried about me that it takes all the fun out of my idea of cupping my pussy and saying, here, big boy, I hurt here. He's so sweet and so determined to protect me from everything that could harm me. How did I ever think he was a dick? I pat his chest. I'm just teasing Hayden, but I do want to practice kissing. His ridged, thick Saqui brow wrinkles.
Are you sure? I do not want you to exhaust yourself.
I sit back in the blankets and pat them encouragingly. I'll be very careful. Hayden gives me a wary look and then nods, joining me in the furs. He moves with grace despite his big body, and I can't help but stare at the fact that he's got a raging hard-on already. Is he denying himself for me? How sweet. How misguided. I'd love to help him with that little problem. Or not so little. His cock is impressive, and my girl parts give an anticipatory little squeeze. We're doing this tonight, come hell or high water. I fought long and hard not to be his mate, but it's funny how things work out. I can't imagine anyone but Hayden for me. Even his gruffness is just a show, and I realize that now. He's crabby because he cares too much, and it scares him. And if that doesn't make a woman turn to goo like a marshmallow, I don't know what does. Hayden thumps onto the furs next to me, his face close to mine. I give him a little smile to let him know that things are fine, that I'm not tired, and that this is gonna be great. I decide to start off slow. So I know you're a virgin. He scowls.
You keep bringing that up.
I bring it up because it's sexy, big guy. I shift a little closer to him and put my hands on his chest, letting my slight weight lean against him. But what I was going to say was, how much do you know about kissing? As if to show me, he leans in and presses a peck to my mouth. It's quick and polite and like something a stranger would give. Yeah, that won't do. I know he knows kisses are filled with emotion. He presses his mouth to my face and almost kisses all the time, and I get the impression he knows it involves lips, but not the depths behind it. Oh, this is going to be fun. That's how you start out, yes. But there's a lot more to it. His eyes narrow as if I've told him he's doing something wrong.
My kiss does not please you.
It pleases me, I say quickly, stroking his chest with my hand. But there are things you can do with mouths and kissing that are even more pleasing. The look on his face gets smoldering.
Like when you put your mouth on my cock, or when I lick your cunt.
Oh, mercy. Did it just get warm in here? I half fan myself. Like that, yeah. Except we do it to each other's mouths. He looks intrigued.
Why?
Because I've never thought about why people kiss. We just do. I slide a hand up his chest and move it to the back of his neck, moving closer to him. Because it feels good? Because it's wet and slick and tongues feel amazing? My words become husky, and I'm getting aroused just talking about things.
Your tongue felt amazing on my cock.
His gaze drops to my mouth.
It is very smooth.
Yeah, I thought you'd like it if I tried that. I can't help but smile.
Did you enjoy doing that to me?
His voice has dropped a husky note.
I could smell your arousal when you licked me. And I smell it now.
His hand moves to my thigh.
Do we skip the kissing then, Josie? I can lick your cunt until you scream. I enjoy doing so.
He runs his tongue over his lips in anticipation.
Very much.
Oh, dear Lord. Such an offer. I'm tempted, but I want to seal the deal with my man, and the incident yesterday has made me crave becoming one with him. I want this. I want all of this. We'll get to that later. For now, let's focus on mouths. I tap on his lower lip and then lightly rub it with the pad of my finger. There's a type of kiss that we call French kissing.
French casing.
Close enough. I tease my finger against the seam of his lips. It's where I put my mouth on yours, or you put yours on me, and our tongues meet. Recognition dawns on his face.
I have seen this.
You have? He nods.
I never thought to try it. We always seemed too far from that.
The look on his face gets hungry with need, and his gaze moves to my mouth again.
I want to try it, Josie.
I want that, too. His hands go around my waist, and he pulls me forward. And then my breasts are pressed against his chest, my legs straddling one of his thick thighs. Our mouths are inches apart, and then he pushes his lips to mine. Not a gentle press, but an awkward push of his face against mine. I remain still, waiting for him to feel his way through things. It's a little awkward, but I don't want him to feel like he's not doing it right. To encourage him, I part my mouth, and when he doesn't swoop in, I take the initiative and flick my tongue against his. A groan escapes him, and I feel his arms tighten around me. His tongue rubs up against mine, and it's full of ridges and strange creases, just like his cock. I moan as they drag along my tongue and set my nerve endings on fire.
I like this.
He rasps between licks of his tongue against mine. Oh, boy. I do, too. I'm not able to do much more than whimper along with each thrust as he experiments with kissing. He tries moving his tongue in different ways, slicking along mine and trailing along my teeth. When he's satisfied he's got the thrusting tongue part down, he teases my lips with his. The deep, licking kisses turn to light, playful nibbles that make me ache just as much as the others. He's entirely too good at this for a beginner, and all I can do is cling to him and enjoy the ride. Over and over he kisses me, mouths melding, tongues teasing, until I'm a quivering lump of woman in his lap. His mouth on mine is doing crazy things to me, and it's like I can feel my cootie vibrating through every inch of my body right down to my spleen. Hayden nips at my lower lip, and he's careful despite those big, sharp teeth. They graze over my lips softly, and I feel his tongue flick a moment before he lifts his head and gives me one of those laser-focused, intense looks.
Josie.
I'm floating in a sea of arousal, and the man wants to make conversation?
I want to frank kiss other parts of you.
He garbles the two words into one and then nips at my lip again. Oh? I've never been propositioned quite so sweetly and yet so dirtily. I thought you said I was fragile. He moves lower, nips at my chin, and then begins to trace my jaw with his tongue.
I will do the work. You can rest, and I will kiss you.
I giggle. Is this the Saqui version of just lie back and enjoy it, baby? Doesn't matter. I'm glad I've convinced him that it's playtime instead of Josie is fragile and needs bed rest. I will do my best not to interfere then, I say playfully, and I set my hands on his shoulders with every intent of leaving them there and doing nothing to interfere. He gives me a scorching look that makes my thighs quiver, and then puts a hand to the back of my neck and gently maneuvers us until we're lying in the furs. I'm on my back underneath him, and he's looming over me. All blue suede skin and muscle, his horns casting shadows in the firelight. He looks a bit like a demon from this angle, hard face cast in shadow except for his glowing blue eyes, and I shiver again because it shouldn't be half so sexy as it is.
You are shivering,
he points out, a look of concern on his face.
Shall I stoke the fire?
It's sexy shivering. He snorts, not believing me,